Now, you will already know it is Mars Week on Radio 4. What really intrigues me is that one day, perhaps even now actually, it could be Radio 4 Week on Mars, and they might well be focusing, or they've tuned away from Classic FM to listen to Radio 4 for the week to find out what we're up to. As part of our contribution, we're talking to Dr. Louisa Preston, who is an astrobiologist and a planetary geologist at Birkbeck University in London. Mm-hmm. You are funded by the UK Space Agency.
Yes.
Which, in case anybody doesn't know, is in Swindon. Which, but I don't know why, that it just... Brilliant. And Dr. Caroline Edwards is a lecturer in modern and contemporary literature, and you too are based at Birkbeck.
That's right.
Great to have you both on. Can we just actually listen to a woman we spoke to on Woman's Hour not that long ago, a young woman called Maggie Liu, who's been longlisted to start a colony on Mars.
I'm just really excited about the prospect of going to Mars because no one's ever been there before, and it's such a leap from... the furthest we've ever been so far is to the moon, and no man's been further than that. And it's such a leap to get to Mars.
She is an astrophysics student, Maggie. I'm not sure whether she's still involved in that project, but very briefly, Louisa, what is... This is a privately funded project
Yes.
to get to Mars.
Yes, Maggie's part of... Or I think she's not anymore, actually, but she was part of Mars One, this private endeavour to send 24 people to go to Mars, both men and women, with a one-way ticket.
Yeah.
There was no coming back, and they were going to set up a colony there. The corporation's still going, the venture's still going. I think they're currently still looking for funding, but it's not... It doesn't have as much credibility, let's say, as some of the other ideas that have been going around.
Well, let's think about it then. How likely are we to get to Mars within the next 25 years? And indeed, is there any political will to even attempt it?
I think we're extremely likely. There are a number of private companies, such as Elon Musk's company, SpaceX, and also the government agencies such as NASA and the Europeans. We all want to go there. The ultimate goal is to send humans to Mars, because at the end of the day, we can do much better work than any robots can. Robots can go and look at rocks, and they can come up with ideas about the different environments on Mars and the life you might be able to support on Mars, but humans can do it in a quarter of the time. And it's basically the next step of our evolution. We're designed to explore and to question and to challenge, and Mars is definitely the next step for that.
It's perfectly plausible then, and
Absolutely.
You seem to be very confident it will happen.
Absolutely, I'm completely confident.
What will happen, Caroline, to all those fantasies about Mars then, if we achieve getting there, if we actually see the reality?
Sure. Well, for a start, I won't be working on science fiction. I'll suddenly be teaching realism.
Yes.
It's interesting, isn't it? We're already starting to see dystopian novels. People are joking in Waterstones and other bookshops that these are actually now kind of contemporary realist novels. But I think for a long time, Mars has been such a source of incredible fascination for science fiction writers. It holds the possibility of sort of resetting the clock and starting again and, you know, rebuilding society from the bottom up. So we can use Mars along with Venus and the Moon and other kind of planets in the solar system from a science fiction and fabulatory perspective to imagine how we might... reconceive of social relations, political relations, what kind of mode of government might we have on Mars.
Which female writers got there first then?
So there's a text from 1893 called Unveiling a Parallel by...
ages ago, 1893?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. By Ella Merchant and Alice Jones. They actually published it anonymously. It was published in Boston under the pseudonym of two women who anonymously published it. And really, it's really interesting because in many ways it's part of a boom in the later 19th century into utopian narratives. And so Mars is just the kind of backdrop. Mars is really just the way in which they can explore a completely different world outside of patriarchy. They're not actually as interested as later writers in the pulps in the 30s and 40s. For example, were interested in the actual geological features of Mars and the meteorology and that kind of thing. So Unveiling a Parallel is absolutely fantastic.
And since then, what else?
So since then, we've had... there are kind of two main figures who wrote in the pulps period. There was Catherine Moore, who was writing stories in publications like Astounding Science Fiction, for example, and a little bit later on, Lee Beckett, who then became much better known as a screenplay writer and worked on... many well-known Hollywood films, including The Big Sleep, for example.
But when we associate space travel with men, it's interesting to note that over 150 years ago, 150
yeah.
years, people were thinking of women in terms of yes. these alternative places.
Yeah.
It's frustrating that we don't seem to have made an enormous amount of
progress. It is frustrating. I mean, I think in terms of the literature, you find this. There are, in the same way that Mars goes slightly in and out of fashion depending on what the scientific expertise is at the time. So, for instance, before we have the early 1960s and we get more scientific data and photographic data coming back from Mars, there's the canal hypothesis is still reigning supreme. And so Mars is a fantastic way in which to explore, you know, this ancient kind of civilization that had all of these advanced technologies and bringing water down from the poles and so on. And the same is true for feminist writers. So in the 1880s and 1890s period, there's just an absolute boom of different kinds of imaginary worlds set in utopian societies, of which Mars is one. And again, we find in the 1970s, there's another boom period for feminist science fiction and utopian fiction by writers like Marge Piercy, Joanna Russ, Ursula Le Guin, and so on. So I think there are certain kind of moments where feminist ideas, political activism, campaigning for social change come into contact with the science fiction imaginary.
Thank you both very much. We are going to journey further into outer space in our podcast, which will be available a little bit later. Caroline, thank you. Louisa, thank you for your contribution, but more in the podcast.